All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am in Austin, Texas, in Alex Hormozi's home. It's not every day that I get to have somebody on the podcast and they invite me to their home. So not only was I excited to go to this man's house, but in the first 15 minutes, we worked out, which was super dope.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't like a rare thing for you, but I want to feel like I'm extra special and we got to work out together just because that was cool. So for those of you who don't know who Alex Hormozi is, if you've ever been on Instagram and you've ever seen this man with a mustache and he's exorbitantly jacked and he's like, hey, do you want to make more money in your gym? And this is how I do it. And he has a little book. And as he's holding the book, his bicep is bigger than the camera. And he's basically just talking about how to scale gyms. And then you look him up and you find out that he's actually super legit. So what exactly is your business, just for the viewers right now, or for the viewers, for the listeners and the viewers?
Yeah.
As I wear this hat right now, it says, make gyms great again. This is the greatest hat I've ever been given. my hat actually matches your shoes.
It was by design.
We're very red. All right. So let's talk about your business model and let's get into a little bit of like what it entails.
Yeah. So we have three businesses. They serve the same avatar, which is gym owners. And so specifically it's more micro gym owners. So affiliate boxes, boot camps, semi-private facilities, personal training facilities, real brick-and-mortar business owners, typically owner-operated, most of them. I think the average gym has 1.3 locations that works with us. And we just have a specific way that we run the gyms from an acquisition standpoint, but also from...
So you help all gym owners.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what type of gym it is. It could be a CrossFit gym. It could be a spin studio.
So here's an interesting one. Yes, we 100% could help a bar. We have some bar studios, you know, spin studios. What's interesting is that, and I've got yoga studios and whatnot, the type of owner who is attracted to that typically is not attracted to me. And so we just tend to be more in the more hardcore fitness side because I also look the way I look. My, like, it's so funny, on Instagram, you can see your demographics. And so I'm 81% male. And
dude,
so
that's so interesting.
I joke about this with my wife.
I'm 81% male.
Are you?
Swear.
No way.
I'm going to show you after this. Like,
oh,
literally,
that's hilarious.
It's so weird. It's 81% male.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel, I told Layla, I was like, babe, don't worry about it. I was like, the only DMs I get are from guys who are trying to holler, which is not usually my preferred, you know.
I'll tell you my most insane DM I've ever had in a little bit here. You'll love it. From a male.
Oh, even better. So basically, what we do is it's more of a consulting business that has a step. We've productized a service, right? And so we've broken down a process for, here's how we fix the acquisition process for a gym, how we get people in the door profitably for a small business owner. Because the issue, there's three main problems with the traditional gym model. One is that on the front end, they can't acquire customers profitably. So they have to lose money in the acquisition. So they have to spend a marketing budget with the hopes that they'll be able to recoup the cost of acquisition within the next 1, 2, 3 months, et cetera, right? And so we fix that by selling high ticket up front when people are the most excited, when their pain's the highest, and it makes the most sense to sell them the most expensive package and sell to goal, right? And that's where we can sell $2,000, $3,000 plus packages for, like you said, you know, CrossFit boot camps, et cetera. And so we do that up front so that if
sometimes I feel like the high ticket items make people feel more accountable.
Oh, it's better for everyone.
Yeah, they're like, not shied away from paying for it. They're like, well, you know, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then I'll feel, you know,
invested
in it. And I feel like, you know, even whether you can afford it or not, it's one of those things where it's almost needed. If you need to make a real life change, sometimes putting your money up.
If you want to be a good coach, the coaching conversation begins at the sale, right? Like, if we want to have a superior outcome for someone, then it has to start with breaking their beliefs of what's possible and getting them invested. And the more they pay, the more they pay attention. And that's just a fact, right? Like, I'm sure everyone here who's in the fitness world has given their mom or their aunt or their uncle a super in-depth program that they, like, did all the macros for and did all the periodization and then checked in with them, like, 8 weeks later. It's like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to start that.
It's because they didn't pay anything.
Right. So that's the first problem, right, is that they don't know how to acquire customers profitably. And so we flip that so they can make 3-to-1, 5-to-1, 10-to-1 on the acquisition so that the acquisition side no longer is a bottleneck because they're not capital constrained. They can make money getting customers. So that's number one. The second issue is that traditionally, if they even are full, especially at the more full times, the 5:30 p.m., the 5:30 a.m. classes, they start reaching capacity before they're profitable. And that's typically because their price points are off and the way that they do the fulfillment, both in terms of exercise selection, the duration of the classes, just everything is off. So it's not structured so that they can actually be at full capacity and be profitable to the extent that they want to be given the amount of time and capital they put into the business, right? So that's number two. And so we fix that through what we call the profit levers. There's capacity levers, there's overhead levers, and then there's profit levers. So there's three types of levers that we kind of pool in the business. And then the third big problem is attrition, right? It happens. And so it's
hole,
like...
hole in the bucket.
Yeah, the hole in the bucket problem. So it's like, great, we're making money getting people in the door. Awesome. We fixed the model so that now we're actually making money even as we get, you know, spun up to full capacity. How do we keep these people engaged so that they stay and pay longer? And then obviously, hopefully, refer friends so that that ultimately decreases our cost of acquisition overall. And the goal is to get to the golden ratio where your referral percentage is higher than your churn percentage. And at that point, it's self-sustaining without any paid acquisition.
That's cool. So that's it. Is that kind of like where, because you eventually get into like a, is there a ClickFunnels scenario?
I mean, we give plenty of templates for landing pages and things like that, because but that changes all the time because marketing has to change. Yeah.
Oh, right on. Okay, so I had a few questions from viewers and listeners and stuff from Instagram, because I told them I was coming here. And one of them asked me, I thought this was a good question. They're like, where do you see the fitness industry going in the next 5 to 10 years?
I'm super happy that that was one of the questions.
Yeah.
Just first off, apologies.
I mean, there was a lot of good questions.
Yeah.
But like, I picked the ones that I like. Okay. And I was like, I like this one. And I always like talking to people that are in this space and see where they think it's going. And I'll give you my opinion as well.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Just an apology to anyone who's listening. I breathe really bad. I have like horrible, like I can't breathe through my nose. So I'm trying not to mouth breathe on the mic.
They understand. Like, it's a jacked problem.
Okay. That makes me feel a little better. So big picture, and I talked about this in some of my marketing that went super viral and it pissed a lot of people off. And so actually, maybe I backed down, but I was like pissing off my own customers. And I think it was just because it was such a harsh reality that I think a lot of people didn't want to face it. But I still believe what I was saying, which is just, I believe that group training is a commodity and it will continue to get driven down in price. And that's what happens. That's what's happened to every single major fitness development in the last 50 years, you know, in the 70s.
I was going to say, give me an example.
Oh, I mean, this is like, if you watch the whole trajectory. So if you look at like the 70s when like LA Fitness started and 24 Fit, all those ones started, right? They were able to get like $60 a month, like 50 years ago, like crazy. And if you could account for inflation, they're like, they're almost charging like 80, $90 a month.
And now it's 20.
Right. Exactly. And they have to offer more, right? The facilities have to be better and cleaner. And like, so literally it costs more to get into it and they make less per customer. And so that's just because over time, every market becomes more and more commoditized and more big players get into it and it becomes a volume game, right? And so that's happened over time. And
so Costco effect.
Right. And so that, I mean, we've seen that unfold. And then if you look at like 2005, 2006, which if you were in the fitness industry then, that was like the boom of personal training, right? That was when anyone could make $100,000 a year being a personal trainer because the economy was great.
That was when I was in school and I was like, oh my God, personal trainers make $100,000 a year. And I was like freaking out.
Dude, I was there. Man.
You know how we're all like on Google, like all of us who are in the fitness industry, we're all on Google, like you can make $100,000 a year.
In sweats?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in, sign me up, right? And so, yes. And so that happened. Then obviously the crash happened after that. And so then that gave birth to the bootcamp large group, et cetera, movement, right?
And it was perfectly timed. Semi-personal training.
Right. Because what happened is, and that's where, and if you look at the price points, when people had personal trainers were at the big boxes, and then all of a sudden, everyone's like, within like 2 months, everyone canceled everything. And then you're like, oh my God. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you and a couple friends come to the park with me, and I'll train you guys for $300 a month. And they were like, great. Instead of $1,300, it's a great deal. And it was like group personal training. And so you had guys in outdoor boot camps charging $300 a month because of supply and demand, right? And it was novel and it was new and it was different and it was also price anchored with personal training. So it seemed like a deal. And then obviously the more savvy business owners were like, well, if I do it inside, I can do it year round and I can put better equipment in. I don't have to just keep it on the back of my truck. You know what I mean? Like, and then the game got better. You know, the players who came into it got better. And then it's like, oh, if I put air conditioning and I clean this place all the time, like all, and we have shower, like, you know, and then it starts leveling up.
Yep.
But as that continued to happen, same thing happens again. Then it went from $300 a month to $200 a month. And now, depending on what industry reports you read from like Zen Planner, Wattify, things like that, the average gym, they have three like tiers, but most of the gyms are at like 119-ish per month on average for their EFT, which is a hard, you know, it's a hard place to be from a profit standpoint. And it's only continuing to be driven down because now some of the bigger
players. Just reference EFT real quick for people.
Oh, electronic fund transfer. So like a recurring revenue member. And if you look at that compared to like some of the big players now who are getting into it, like Gold's just came out with like Gold's Fit, which looks
very
whole
similar
lot
to
like an affiliate box.
Yeah.
I don't want to use my, you know, use the terms right. But yeah, it looks a whole lot like CrossFit, and they're charging $59 a month unlimited. So, and honestly, their trainers are just as good as everyone else is because, and this is one of the things I try to explain to our community is that like, unless you are the person doing the training sessions, which we try to get our business owners out of it so they don't have to do that. But unless you are that person, you have the same access to talent that everyone else does, except most of these bigger boxes have more one-on-one PT available because they have a huge pool of clients that they can ascend from. And most of those trainers, if they work 80 hours a week, can make $100,000 a year. You know, and a lot of times that opportunity doesn't exist for most trainers within a micro gym. So it's like you have access to the same pool, and the best ones typically will gravitate there. And so you might even have an inferior product, as much as you want to be like, if everyone just knew about our gym, if people just knew about our gym, they'd come. People do know about your gym. They don't refer their friends because it's not good enough. Yep. And that's just the real truth.
One of the incentives I do for my trainers at my gym is I let them keep all their PT money.
Yeah.
So that gives me like an extra leg up on trying to keep my trainers.
A friend of mine actually did the same thing. RBT, Travis Jones in Australia, he actually had the same model for his coaches. They could just do.
You have to coach at least 10 classes a week, and then you get to keep all of your dough.
Yeah.
So it helps a little bit.
I think it's for anybody, for an enterprising trainer. Yeah, totally.
All right. So now you have, you know, the group training is getting a little bit more watered down.
Yeah.
So where do you see it going now?
So
I think I know where it's going, but I'm waiting to see. Yeah.
So I think that group training on its own is a commodity. So the question is, how can we combine other product services such that the commoditized thing can be differentiated in such a way that we provide more value and that people are willing to stay and pay more? And so I think there's a couple different ways that that can happen. I think that you can combine products and services. Like you could say, hey, if you buy meals from us, then you can get this for free, right? Or you buy supplements and you can get this for free. Like then all of a sudden they're getting multiple streams of value for the same perceived price. So now it's different and you can anchor higher. That's one way. Another way is the way that we teach all of our gyms right now, which is just by providing one-on-one accountability at scale. And so that means like texting your clients every morning for their workout, being like, hey, can't wait to see you tonight, Rosie. Because most people just want, is this an explicit podcast? I don't know.
No, you're fine. Say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, okay.
I curse all the time.
Okay, people just want other people to give a shit.
Yeah.
Right? They just want someone to give a shit about them. And so they just want someone to wait. And there's been some models that have failed in the fitness industry where they tried to automate personal training with digital machines and things like that. And like, you can keep track of someone's reps and sets and
like
have the
like you're talking about like Peloton?
I'm trying to make friends with the franchisor, so I don't want to call any franchises out. But yeah, I think there's some that have done it and have failed. I think Peloton's doing a good job for different reasons, but from the franchise side, has failed because no one wants to wake up at 5 a.m. for a machine. And that's really what it comes down to. And so there's the human touch factor, which I do think does protect gyms in the short to medium term.
I think so too. A lot of people are like, oh my God, what if like everything goes like online? I'm like, human interaction. Yeah. I pay $5 for a coffee every day just to go to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I loved going to the coffee shop. Everyone's like, you know how much money you'd save if you just bought your own coffee? I'm like, you know how sad I'd be if I bought my own coffee every day?
Which I wouldn't like life. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'd be on my computer all day and I'd just stay home and just be a hermit and fuck that.
And so that's what we kind of call the kind of hybrid model where you have both the one-on-one accountability, and that can be used as an upsell, but typically when someone comes in, they really need that. And so we bundle that together and really position it as personal training. And that way we're able to sell boot camp or, you know, CrossFit, et cetera, for $400 plus per month because they have a one-on-one coach. And so just like online trainers or Instagram trainers or whatever, charging, you know, between $200 and $500 a month, depending on how good they are at business and blah, 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 blah. We can do the same thing in person and have that one-on-one experience because if we're being super real, the thing that needs to be one-on-one is the accountability and to a certain extent, the food. But the workouts for most people who are general population, it's like if they just move, we've saved their life. Like if you can get just someone to walk for the rest of their life, like you've won.
Yeah.
And so it's really taking a longer term perspective for what intervention is going to yield a sustainable client outcome that's going to help them lose weight, keep it off, feel better, et cetera, that they're actually going to stick with, right? Like if I have to get you to wake up at 4:30 every day and change your entire life, the likelihood you're going to stick with that for 10 years is really low.
That's a great point because like I always try to tell everybody, I'm like, please don't go 0 to 100. Like stop listening to Drake and like right. Let's just go like 0 to 10.
Like, to
you know
five,
what I mean?
Right?
Like 0 to 3.5.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I feel like if you just have these like little goals, it's way more sustainable. So like everyone's always trying to sell certain diets and this and that. And I'm like, hey, listen, like a good trainer all knows that as long as you're in a caloric deficit, you're going to be able to lose weight. But like, you know, what's the difference between keto and carb cycling and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And really what it is what feels the easiest for you so that you can do it in the long term.
What deficit path works?
It all works for you. Yeah. It's all going to work, but like which one works for you? So like, do you like high fat? Do you like high carb? Do you like whatever it is, right? Like I love high fat and a lot of people don't. And it's just the way I go.
Yeah.
Granted, I had a fuck ton of Kodiak pancakes with you this morning and I went high carb, but I'm probably pretty sure I'm growing, getting my weight back.
You're anabolic right now. So,
that's a good point. So I genuinely feel like right now, because I get a lot of people that come to me and they're like, hey, you know, a lot of people in the space that know me from starting my gym and all that. And they're like, you know, I really want to start a gym and I want to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm really excited for you. And I think that if this is the time in your life where you're ready to make a big leap, try not to put so much stress on yourself by like opening a $1 million facility and doing all these things. And why don't you start a little bit smaller?
Yeah.
And like have a small little personal training studio.
Yeah, and make good money.
Yeah, and then scale from there.
Yeah.
But I also don't like to see when people start a gym, like a CrossFit style gym, because that's what I'm known for. They open this like kind of big space and they have like two rowers and like a couple dumbbells and stuff like that. I'm like, have you ever seen a Barry's Bootcamp or a SoulCycle or like a big franchise, and they're like, you know what? We're just going to have like four rowers today. And like, once we get big, we're going to grow into it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to walk in and see that. I don't want to walk into Nordstrom and see like four pairs of jeans. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see 27 pairs of jeans. Or, I mean, God, good Lord, they probably have 1,000. Yeah. But like, I need to see all the shit.
Yeah.
And for me, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. But if you just have a small studio and you have dope shit, I feel like, you know, you're already at a higher selling point.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is just figuring out ways that you can provide more. So, like, I believe that in every market, there's two winners. You have the cheapest and the best. And it's a lot easier to be, in my opinion, to be the best than it is to be the cheapest. I mean, for me, like, if you're going to try to be the cheapest, you need to go in with absolute, like, operational know-how, understand how to deal with volume. Like, there's lots of systems, and most people who are getting into fitness don't have that skill set. And it's much easier to grow a business based on high-ticket personnel, you know, clientele. And providing, like I said, $400, you know, plus per month. And you can do that with, you can have a semi-private only facility. Like, people were always like, you know, what's the one model? It's like, there's so many ways. Like, you could have 100% zero training facility. And that's one of our, we espouse a few different models at Gym Launch, because it's just like the diet. Like, I see businesses as a reflection of the entrepreneur, right? Like, your style of how you flow, right, will be reflected in how you do business. And so we have some gym owners who do 100% hybrid model. What that means is basically, they have a space this big, literally as big as this room, which for anybody who's not watching is like 200 square feet. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And so people come in and they basically talk to them and they're like, listen, Dorothy, you haven't stuck to fitness ever. So why don't we just start with walking? Can we just commit to that for the next like 2 months? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, let's like stop eating cupcakes. Let's just start there. And so it's radically emphasized on the accountability and just hitting the small milestones. And the thing is like, if Dorothy actually does those things, she's going to lose 40 pounds in the next 2 or 3, you know, whatever, 4 months.
Yeah.
And she's going to be stoked. And she didn't have to put nearly the amount of effort in. And I think there's a misconception within the space, which is like, I like using the dentist example when people are like, it's funny. I had someone yesterday send me their pricing sheet and they're like, what do you think? And it was like, X for 8 sessions, X for 12 sessions, X for whatever. Right. And I was like, this is irrelevant because Dorothy would rather do fewer sessions and lose weight. Right. Yeah, I was like, so if you're a dentist, can I pull your tooth out and have it take 5 minutes or an hour? Which one would you rather have? And it's like, oh gosh, the 5 minute one. Right. So then like, it's all about selling the goal, and the vehicle that we're choosing to get there is whatever is really best for Dorothy. Dorothy might not be able to make it into the gym. It might not be convenient for her, and she's got a track record of failing. So like, let's not jump back on the horse that we already know fails. And so that's where it becomes more customized. We call it a diagnostic selling process. But essentially, we go through the process, and we're just like, can you make it in these times? Is that more like, we just ask, would you rather? Would you rather make it in here? Would you rather work out at home? Would you rather eat lots, like two big meals a day or smaller meals? Would you like, we literally just go through this so that we can just make a tailored program to the person. And then you just have the systems on the back end that make it simple for the coach to be able to do that at scale. And then that allows them to have a personalized experience and personalized pricing. But for the business owner to be able to have operational scale so they can make more, obviously.
So you're just a huge fan of just incorporating other like add-ons.
Yeah. Well, value. Much. Just yeah. ways to differentiate, because it's incredibly like every single gym is like our community.
I was gonna say, because everyone listening to this is going to be like, I just want to know how he can make me more money. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, without, obviously, you guys could sign up for his course and his entire thing.
You can get a book for free.
You guys can get a book for free. And he yeah. has a lot of tips. But, like, I want people to get, like, yeah. a good little nugget or two from you. So if the biggest nugget is just creating more value by add-ons, mm-hmm. that's a great thing to tell people and try to create a higher ticket item out of something that started at a lower ticket.
So the easiest thing to do is that when you have clients who walk in the door, you have to go through what we call a diagnostic selling process. You sell to goal. So let's say Dorothy wants to lose 40 pounds. Okay. Well, we're going to say that safely we want her to lose 2 pounds a week for the next. So that's going to take 20 weeks. But then
so you're saying when someone comes in,
yeah.
instead of selling them a gym membership, you're selling them a goal.
No one wants a membership. No one wants a membership. They want to look. They want their husband to look at them a certain way. That's what they really want.
I love that.
And so a membership's irrelevant. And so it's really like, why don't we just give Dorothy that, and she'll be willing to pay 4 times more for that because it's a defined end period of time. It's not forever, and it satisfies exactly what she wants. Not a $129 per month unlimited, right? And so Dorothy comes in. We go. We figure out what her goals are, and then we figure out what path of least resistance it is for her to get there. Now she feels like she can actually do this, so she has conviction that the likelihood that she succeeds is pretty high. And so now we're like, cool. It's $99 a week. I'll finish what I was saying. So she needs to lose 40 pounds. It's going to take 20 weeks to get there, but we also want to make sure that she doesn't just get there. She stays there. So we're going to either say we want 50% of that time or even 100% of that time added on the back end to feed you back up above maintenance so that you can be at your lower weight, maintain it, and then hopefully recomp up so that we can actually get your calories above where you were when you started, but at a 40-pound lower body weight. And that's going to take another 20 weeks to get your metabolism revved up, whatever, right? And so that's going to be a 40-week program. It's going to be $99 a week. If you want to pay like prepaid a day, you can save 20%. Instead of $4,000, it's $3,200. Like, fair enough.
Yeah.
And then we just go from there. And then if she's like, I can't, $3,200. And you're like, cool, no worries. You can still save 10% if you put half down. So you want to just do whatever that is, $1,600 down. And then all you got to do is pay $49 a week. You want to do that? You know what I mean? You just work yeah. your way down. And by doing that, the average EFT is $430 a month if you're including the fact that it's 4.3 weeks per cycle, right, per month. So now you got people at $430 a month. It only takes like 120 clients to make $1 million gym, right? And remember the attrition problem that you have? Well, if you text a client every day, what do you think the likelihood is that they're going to churn?
Pretty good.
Yeah, lot better than just the standard 10%, which happens when you have a large group training facility that doesn't have a super strong anything, right? If you're just an average gym, as much as you're like, our community is great, so is everyone. Yeah. So
I'm thinking right now, I'm like, man, I want my desk person to text everybody right now, like every day. Yeah. I don't know how much they would love it or not, the people.
Right.
My people are different from Newport Beach. They're like, oh, fuck this feeling.
Yeah. Please don't bother. But if Susie comes in and she has that expectation of yeah. like, this is how she's going to achieve her goal, then she's more willing to do that. So that's number one, right? It's changing the selling process and matching it to the person's goal, which is what they want. Now, just by doing that, if you'll let me like go on a little tangent here, the number one lever that makes profit is price, right? Like, I'll give you a little example. So let's say you have a genie with a magic lamp and he says, I can either double the amount of clients you have, I can double how long they stay, or I can double your price. Which one would you like me to do? Right? So if you walk through each of those examples, if someone doubles your business, and let's say you're running a 20% margin, when you double the amount of clients, typically the margin will scale with you, and you're still doing 20%, but just with twice as many people because you have more sessions, more trainers, like it all scales up, right? And so you went from making, let's say you had 10,000 a month is what your gross was, and you're doing 20% margin is 2,000. And now you go to 20,000 with 4,000 in profit. Cool. Okay. We doubled. If you double how long people stay, then it doubles your ability to acquire customers because the lifetime value is twice as high. Right. And so over time, what happens is that the need to spend on marketing goes down. So your profit goes up because you don't have all the acquisition costs that you need to have. Right. And so that's what happens there. And that's, you get a little bit more than twice as much profit as you did before because you eliminate a cost as well. Right. That's in the middle door. The final door is, let's say you still have your same 10,000, you know, 10,000 a month is what you were making before and 2,000 in profit. Now, if I doubled the price, now I'm at $20,000 a month, but I still have the same 8,000 in cost. And now I make $12,000 a month in profit. So I 6x'd my profit versus doubling my profit simply by doubling my price. And so that's where, when we talk about these little things, like, for example, all of our gyms bill on 28-day cycles. Why would we do that? Sorry, I'm going to breathe out.
Okay. I have a friend who bills on 28-day cycles.
Well, let me show you some math behind it. So the average gym runs on 12% margins per year. So if you make $300,000 a year as a CrossFit, for example, then it means you're probably making $36,000 a year take home. Right? That's the real, those are the real numbers. I have a friend who just runs a CPA firm, accounting firm just for like CrossFits. And so,
and I can attest that we don't make that much.
Yeah. Right. And so you got 12% margin. Now, if you switch from monthly to weekly, it means you get 13 billing cycles. So 28-day cycles versus monthly, you get 13 cycles rather than 12 in a year. Doesn't sound like much. It's an extra 8%. But if you go from 12% to 20%,
it's a shit ton, yeah.
You almost double your profit by just changing the way you bill. And so that's one of like 16 profit levers that we use to improve a gym, right? It's these little things that add up over time that make the gym more profitable. Beyond that, like we have a price increase letter where we like take most gyms and we add, let's say $10 a week. It doesn't sound like very much to most people, but that's $40 a month. And if you recall from before, if that $40 a month is 100% profit that comes in and the average gym costs $90, this is based on the industry report from Zen Planner and Waterfly, it costs about $90 a month to fulfill on a group training member. So if it costs 90 and you were at 119, you're only making $30 a month per member. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden you're like, damn, that's actually not that good. So if you add another 40, all of a sudden you go from 30 to 70, you more than double your profit just by adding $10 a week.
Yeah. But how do you add $10 a week without pissing people off?
That's why we have rate increase letters that show the value that they're going to get. And typically what happens is
I've been $200 a month at my gym for 6 years.
Yeah.
I've never increased it, but I'm at the point now where like I'm pretty much at capacity.
Yeah.
And I don't want to piss people off.
Uh-huh.
And I keep telling my business partner, I'm like, hey, I want to increase the prices.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, like, I just know that people are going to get mad and like whatever. And I'm like,
well, if you've been open for a while, you can also say like, listen, costs have changed. Like my rent has gone up. Like, I mean, like things have changed. And so this is just like, you can just call it an adjustment. And then in the letter, you just put a PS that says, if this materially affects your life in any way, you can't buy groceries, you can't pay your mortgage, please let me know so that we can figure out something. And so that gives people an out. And then obviously when you
sit down,
I
feel like everybody would email me and be like,
you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And so whenever we walk gyms through that, typically on a handful of times, I've had people have more than 10% of their clients leave. But if you have 10% leave, but you make
10% leave after they raise the
price.
Right.
Yeah. But you make so much more. Like I did this at one of my gyms. I actually went from $99 to $299 a month. I was like, YOLO.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I was just like,
I had this like spiritual experience of like, I was just like, so I was like, I don't believe in boot camp. Like it has to be semi-private. Like you have to lift weights. You have to count your macros. Like I don't care anymore. Like this is what people need. And so I just gave this like spirited, like 40-minute, just like rant on Facebook. And I was like, everybody gets a 14-day trial. And then after that, this is what it's going to be. And we lost 30% of our customers.
That's not bad.
But I tripled my prices.
Yeah.
So I actually more than doubled how much money I was making. And I had to, and my overhead went down because I was serving 30% fewer people. So my profit went up twice. I went up because the price went up 3x and because my overhead shrank by 30%.
That's fucking great.
And so a lot of people underestimate the cost of switching.
So you started adding nutrition with that program.
I've always had nutrition with my stuff.
But even when it was 100 to 300, you had nutrition the whole time?
So when people would come in the beginning, I had nutrition because I gave people like templates and stuff.
What did you change from 99 to 299?
They had the trainer ratio. So we switched it so that it was 1:8 instead of large group, whoever shows up, tells one. It was all barbell movements rather than boot camp style movements. And then everyone got custom macros that was checked in every 14 days.
Cool.
Yeah. It worked.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, and I had six gyms, and Layla makes fun of me because like every gym I actually had a different model. So rather than like, I didn't like carbon copy each one. I always wanted to like improve and figure out new ways.
New, yeah.
And different markets. Like I had a really big large group training facility in La Habra, California, which is a pretty low income market.
I know where it is. Yep.
Yeah. Medium household there is 31,000, or it was at the time, household. So, I mean, like, we weren't talking like super well. It's not Newport.
Yeah.
And so,
dude, our cheapest house, like, literally no joke, is like $1.5 million.
Right.
The jump chain. It's fucking insane. It's insane. I don't understand. Anyway.
Yeah. So just to go back to the nugget stuff for your audience, diagnostic selling on the front end, price is going to be the biggest lever that's going to make you more money. Change your billing cycle to weekly and or 28-day cycles. I prefer 28-day cycles. It's less billing headache, but you can still present the price weekly. So it's $99 a week. We bill in 28-day cycles. You just say it like that, you're good to go. People won't comprehend the difference between that, but they'll get billed 13 times a year instead of 12, and you make an extra extra whole month of EFT for nothing. It's your tip. tip for everybody. Hopefully this, you know, served you.
That's fucking mind blowing to think about. Like, if your gym makes 40 G's a month, for instance, at the end of the year, you just made an extra 40 G's.
Yep.
And if your gym was already making 100,
yep,
you just made 40% more at all.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
And one of the other pieces is I always sold supplements at my facilities. And the reason was because I was adamantly against it for the first, I think, year and a half that I had my gyms.
The employees always ask for it. Not the employees, sorry. The clients. They're like, what should I take? And
exactly.
And I have to point them to the
GNC
to the
down the street
go.
Or whatever. Yeah. Right. And so I got one time, it was just this, there was two stories that resonated with me that broke my belief about it. One was a girl named Susie, actually. That's usually what we call her avatar, but her name was Susie. And so she came in and she signed up for a challenge. And I think at the time I was charging $400 for challenges. And she was like, okay, my friend says I need to take all these things. Like, what should I take? And she like would not leave my office. It was after the 9 a.m. So like I had no more sessions and she just would not leave. And so I was like, fine, like in the name of good service, like you don't need this, like you just need to eat and train, like it doesn't matter. And I gave her a list and she went to, you know, the vitamin shop down the street or whatever. And the guy disregarded the list that I gave her and pimped her out on $700 for the stuff, right? And I remember being so angry because I just was like, one, she didn't get what I wanted. Two, that guy, that store made more money from this client in one 20-minute interaction than I was going to keeping track of her reps, making sure she's making progress, telling her that it's okay that she's sore, showing her how to foam roll, like just all of the stuff I was going to have to do for the next 6 weeks to service her, while this guy had 20 minutes and I was like, what the heck, right? And I was the one who sent her there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is ridiculous. So that was number one. And the second was a guy named Juan, who was one of the best clients. Like, everyone's has one of those. He walked in the first day, was like, bro, I just want to look like you. And I was like, you need higher goals, but I appreciate it. So, and so
I like that.
So he signed up, he crushed his challenge and was like, bro, I want to look like you. What do I need to do? He wanted to start gaining muscle. So I was like, dude, like, you don't need to worry about supplements. Just keep, I was like, I do the same thing you do. I was like, I've just been doing it for 15 years. That's it. Nothing changes. And he's like, but bro, like, you take all these supplements. And I was like, and I literally, he said this to me and I'm in my office and my whole floor behind me is all the products I was taking. So it was like my protein, my casein, my creatine, my, like everything was behind me. And I was like, I'm at a point in my career where, you know, like the extra 5% is like,
kinda,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And he was like, bro, don't I deserve that. He's like, I want the extra 5%. And I was like, dude, he's so right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not giving him.
I actually felt for him just now, and yeah. I didn't even know him. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. I felt it when he said that, and I was like, you're right.
Yeah,
like, here, this is everything I take. And he went there, and he dropped $400. And again, I was like, this is stupid. And so I was like, I should give people the opportunity to at least, you know, to know. And so what we did is, so for everyone, if you want another nugget for making your gyms make money, first you do a diagnostic sale for service. 24 to 48 hours later is when you should have an orientation to onboard a client, which, by the way, between sale and orientation is where most customers are making the decision whether or not they're going to stay with your business. So whether or not someone churns at the end of a trial or a challenge is typically that decision is being made in that first impression period. So it's incredibly important to maintain communication between the sale and the orientation, and then through the orientation, make sure they feel like they understand what's going on, right? And so during that orientation, people are like, well, how do I pay for it? Let me tell you. So you have everyone get a one-on-one orientation with a coach for 30 to 60 minutes, depending on your inflow, et cetera. And that's where you can talk about their food. You download the app to check in for the workout, all the other crap that you got to do. Here's our Facebook page. Put see first so that I, you know, that you always see your posts, all that kind of crap, right? Follow me on Instagram. They get everyone to follow you. And then that's where you just recommend the products that you want them to take. And just like that, we average $200 in supplement sales per new client that walks in the door. Now, that may not seem like much, but if you're signing up, let's say 30 new clients a month, it's an extra $6,000 a month. And you just said like the average gym makes 12%, they make $40,000 a year in profit. That extra $6,000 a month, and you're probably running a 40% margin on supplements, which is what like people who sell Prestige Lab, which is our company, they make 40% in gross. So it's three times what they make from their gym. So if you sell $6,000 in supplements, it's just like having $18,000 a month in service revenue that's come in because it's higher profit. Right. And because it's immediate, because it's only 24 to 48 hours after the initial purchase, it helps you liquidate the cost of acquisition. So if you're spending money on ads or whatever you're doing, that initial sale gives you more cash up front so that you can either reinvest in marketing or you at least break even on the campaign. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or so that you can pay the trainer to do it so you don't have to do it yourself. Because if you're making, let's say, a $200 sale, you make $80 on each of the sales, you know, you can pay your coach $20 an hour and he's good to go. And like what we do is we do two people every 30 minutes when we do our orientations. So a coach can make $60 an hour based on the commissions he's making and selling product. But the gym is making $800 an hour. So, and if you're talking gross margin, then we're making $320 an hour. So awesome.
Yeah. Do you remember Jim Jones?
No.
He was the guy that trained all the people for the movie 300.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And he had a space in Utah. And I remember when I was training for the Olympic bobsled team in Utah, I remember hearing about this gym because the movie 300 came out and everybody was like, oh my God. You know, it was like the first time like a movie had come out where like everybody was fucking shredded.
Yeah.
And then he was in Men's Health magazine. And then like everybody was just trying to find this gym.
Yeah.
He didn't have a sign. He didn't have an address.
Yeah.
He had a website. And if you wanted to work out there, you had to like send an email as like, hey, this is why I want to work out there. And he wanted like good reasons.
Yeah.
And then basically what would happen is every hour was $500.
Okay.
And then you had to just fill the hour. Like that's how much the trainer's time was that hour.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to bring 10 people in with you, you brought 10 people. If it's just you, it was just you.
Yeah.
And then if you showed up and he didn't like you, you couldn't come back.
That's great.
And then he basically got to the point where it was like, you know, all of his trainers are making pretty good dough. They're all $500 an hour for the space. And then people were getting booked out. And then basically the only people they had there were people who wanted to be there. And I was like, that is the coolest fucking gym model I've ever heard of in my life. And now the second coolest gym model I've heard of is we have this gym down the street from us. And it's a huge gym. They have – it's almost like your home gym. Like there's a piece of equipment everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's personal training only.
Okay.
And all of the personal trainers have their own app.
Uh-huh.
So they schedule people through the app. And then they pay rent for the facility. So, like, you have all these trainers spending, like, $800 a month in rent.
Mm-hmm.
They're making way more than the actual rent.
Yeah.
And then they also make a percentage from all the people
who are paying,
who are paying for the training, like, on top of the rent. And then, like,
is that self-made?
It's self-made,
They have a great model. Their model.
It's pretty cool.
It's capital intensive. So, if you're a money person, then it's a great
That's amazing
model.
That you knew who it was right away.
Yeah. I mean, they're, I love it.
Their thing is pretty cool, but I think on their app, I think they sell – do they sell supplements and stuff on top of that?
They probably do. I would imagine that the thing is trainers are – it's kind of like – it's like herding cats. You know what I mean? Like everyone has their own – it's like dogma. It's like religion, so they have their own thing. They probably sell stuff on the sly.
Yeah. It's cool though. It's a,
it's a great model. It's a brilliant model. I love the model.
You're really not like – you're not merely managing people.
I'm a huge fan of the model.
Yeah.
We were talking before the podcast started and it's like, there's a lot of ways to skin this cat. There's a lot of really good models. It depends on like most of the people that I serve don't have a lot of money. And so I can be like, yeah, dude, just drop $250 on equipment and making a sick ass facility and then go to 24 and sit outside of the NASM certifications when they let out on their tests and just grab trainers as the, hey, you want to train in my gym? Hey, you want to train in my gym? Right? Like you could do that all day. The thing is like that first part of the sentence where like, oh, I need to get 200. Right.
Yeah.
And so I have to find out ways that I can help someone who makes no money by teaching them skills like how to have conversations that create cash flow, you know, real money. I think the first time you make like a $2,000 or $3,000 sale and you're used to making $99 sales, like your life changes. You're like, holy, what just happened? It's a really cool moment. Yeah. But anyways, hopefully that, between, you know, adding in supplements or meal prep, during that nutrition orientation, you should sell both, and having your diagnostic selling process on the front end doing, you know, 28 day cycles for billing. How to do all this stuff. But
does the gym just have a person who just does these diagnostics or are those the trainers or is that the front desk person?
Thing is, are the type of gyms that we work are so varied in terms of, I mean,
it
like
could be anybody.
Right. I've got guys who have, you know, 10 people on staff and they've got two or three locations. And then I've got guys who are 100% still on the training floor and I'm trying to get them out. So like,
and then
I have every variable.
The verbal process,
uh-huh.
Is that in your book or is that more of like something that's in your course?
The diagnostic sale is in my court, but like we have a closure framework in there that you can totally, I mean, like it's sales, you know what I mean? Like the only difference is that in the book, I'm showing you how to sell a specific program, which is what I always espouse anyways, is like selling a defined period of time for a goal. People are always more willing to spend 2, 3, 4 times as much money to achieve a goal than they are to buy a membership.
Hmm. Where can someone get this book, by the way? Just
alexsbook.com.
alexsbook.com. That is fucking awesome.
It's free, by the way. You just cover the shipping. It's like $8.
All right. So when you first started, your very first started, you opened your very first gym.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like?
It was actually like the worst period of time in my life. It was really hard for me. I think it was
probably good shit to know though.
Yeah. It was the second hardest thing I think I've ever done. When I opened the gym. I was supposed to have a partner who was supposed to do it with me, and he backed out the night before the lease was supposed to get signed.
The night before.
Yeah, it ended up being a blessing in disguise, but I had to come up with the other half of the money, and luckily I did have the other half of the money, but it was everything.
Everything you had.
Right,
yeah.
So I had I'd saved up $60,000 in the first 2 years after college, working at
$60,000. Dude, yeah. You and I are so fucking alike. You know, I started my gym with $60,000.
Yep.
I mean, I had a partner.
Yeah.
But I had to put in $60,000, and it was everything I had.
Yeah.
So my business partner wanted to see my account at zero.
Yeah.
And he's like, "How much do you have?" And I was like, "I have $60,000." It's so crazy. Yeah. But yeah, I had to give him $60,000. So go ahead. Sorry.
And so I didn't obviously have enough money for rent. Let alone rent for my own place and the gym. The gym's rent was like $4,900 a month. And
where is this?
HB, Huntington Beach.
Cool.
Yeah, off Gothard and Talbert. And it was an old warehouse next to a automotive. Like, it's impossible to find.
They're all in automotive places.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you've seen them now, they're still there.
And so anyways, I luckily went to – but that partner who backed out was incredibly important to me because 2 weekends prior, he was like, "Hey, man, let's go to this marketing conference." And I was like – okay, sure. And he was like, "It's $3,000. And I was like, "Bro, whoa." Like, yeah, for a weekend? He's like, "Yeah, but they guarantee that you'll make $10,000 by the end of the weekend. And if you don't, they'll give your money back." And I was like, "Okay. Like,
yeah, well,
I could make
that,
some. Yeah,
yeah,
great. I'm in." And so, man, I still remember that we were both like, "Oh, what are we going to do with the $10,000? Like, that was the whole talk on the way there. Neither of us made $10,000 by the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer.
Do you
still know the people that did the seminar?
Yeah, yeah. I'm good friends with them. Yeah, yeah, actually. But they talked about this thing called Facebook marketing, and this was 2013. And so, I learned enough to be like, I get how this could be something. Right. And so I was able to run ads cause I didn't know anyone. I'm from Baltimore. And so I drove out on a whim basically to California. It's a longer story, but basically I drove there and was like, "I don't know anyone. Like, I'm going to start a gym. Makes no sense." like, really not a good idea.
I just want to be jacked.
Yeah. Just want to be swole. Just want to be financially swole.
Financially and physically swole. That's the name of this podcast.
And so, anyways, I started running ads and I signed up 28 clients in my first 2 weeks and I made every mistake you could make. I tried to open as fast as possible because I thought that you started making money when you open your gym, which is not the case. Like, you should sell for as long as humanly possible and just collect cash before you open the gym so you can pre-sale. You know, if I'd done it again, I did for every other gym.
So
which
that's
is
what I was
going to
ask at the end was what would you do differently? So if you want to just intertwine that as you go.
So there's two things I would do differently. First off, I would try to build a gym. I'd buy a failing gym. Because if you buy a failing gym, you can get it for pennies on the dollar. A, you already have the conditional use permits, which in most markets are a pain in the butt, especially.
It's a pain in the ass. It's a good point.
Yeah. And that eats up your free rent.
And for those of you who don't know what a conditional use permit is, it's basically to say that you can be loud and obnoxious.
Yeah. And you can drop weights and all sorts
and
of stuff.
And then you have parking. And
yeah.
Blah,
parking's
blah, blah.
A huge one.
Parking's actually huge. A lot of people who open CrossFit gyms. Yeah. They're actually telling the city, sorry, city, that they're personal training studios and that
only have five people who ever attend.
Only five people and you have 30 people trying to find a parking spot. So, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah.
that's a conditional use permit.
Yeah. So there's a ton of hurdles that you don't have to do. And there's also, especially with a gym that's already existed for a few years, there's a lot of knickknacks that you forget that you're going to have to buy. And it's like, oh, yeah, a scale. Oh, yeah, a front lobby desk. Oh, yeah. Like there's just a million things.
And a solid $5,000 of shit that you never thought of.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, like the best deal that I've made of all the gyms that I started, well, I'd say three of them were smoking deals. One of them, I purchased a gym that was failing and I agreed on a $50,000 price tag. And so first, if you're ever negotiating, agree on price, then agree on terms. So we agreed at 50 and then I said, "Cool, I'm going to pay you over the next year." And he was like, "Oh," I was like, "It's going to be great." And so what I did was I put $0 down and I was able to assume the gym for 30 days before my first payment was due. I gym launched the gym, signed up 150 people at $600 a head, made $100,000 in the first month, and then paid him his $4,000 a month for the next year. And then by week six, we already were at 15 or 20,000 a month in recurring because of all the people who had converted over to EFT, which is the recurring thing. And so that went super well, and that's kind of the process that we kind of got.
Where
I would
was
say, famous
where was
for.
This gym?
This was in Lake Forest.
Oh, cool! I know where that is.
Yeah,
it's actually close to me.
Yeah, that was a semi private facility. It was a higher ticket, 1-on-8 type model.
Okay,
two trainers, 16 people.
Okay, so it was a group training style, though.
Yeah. It was, but it was what I had adopted, what I changed the other one to, where I went.
And it was traditional strength conditioning style? Like you guys lift, and then was there a conditioning
push,
component?
Pull. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
So it was like, it was actually similar to, I would say it was a little bit more strength, because at the time I was like, everyone should train the way I train, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's probably the biggest thing that I would do differently. I had two corporate locations that were inside of Yamaha, which is in your mm-hmm. area. So Yamaha Motorsport and Yamaha Music. So they allowed us to outfit a facility within their company. And so I paid zero rent. All I had to do is pay for the equipment that I brought there. And, they paid us $50,000 a year. And it was pure profit minus the cost of a trainer once a day for an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a great setup. For
I have a friend that makes like, I want to say $8,000 a month, and he just has to send a trainer into Ruka, the RVCA brand, and they're down there, and
if you can get into corporate, it's a really good space because you have people spending other people's money, and so they don't really.
That's like the Jason Kalipa.
Yeah.
So he has all those NC Fit gyms, and that's where he makes the majority of his money. He's like in the corporate space, mm-hmm. and he has Facebook, Google.
Yeah,
kills it in that type of stuff.
But yeah, so I'll tell you a big mistake that I made. So my second location was the La Habra location. It was supposed to be like my flagship. So we spent $250,000 on this spot, and it made no more money than my first location did. That it was like ragtag duct taped together, because at the end of the day, I realized it's about the service. You know what I mean? It's about the accountability. It's about, that's the stuff that people actually paid for and valued. You can't compete with 24. You're not going to compete with LA Fitness. They're private equity funded. Like they can build $10 million. You're not going to win at that game. Like we have to win at a different game. We got to play with a different set of rules. And so we have to sell service. We got to sell high ticket. We got to combine our services with other offerings so that we can become unique. And that's the game you got to play.
So when did you get to the point in your career where you were like, I no longer want to open gyms anymore?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do this other thing.
Yeah, it all happened in a very short period of time. So there's like a very tumultuous 6 months of my life, which was horrible for me. In that 6 months, I mean, I told you part of it downstairs, mm-hmm. but basically I just came off of like a big high where like Russell Brunson had met me and was like, you need to speak on places about business. And I was like, I'm just a gym owner, man. Like I'm just doing my thing. And so he's like, no, speak at Funnel Hacker, and talk about how you fill gyms up before the first day. And I was like, I just figured everyone did this, you know, like I just was doing my own thing. And so anyways, I broke down our whole process, and, I had a guy, and I've never been so swamped after making a presentation in my whole life. And I had nothing to sell. And I was just like, just use what I did. Like, that's how I do it. Like I broke the whole thing down. Yeah. Like there was no seat. I was like, it's right there. That's the whole presentation. And I had literally like 30 people around me for the next 2 days, like rapid fire, like reaching hands through, like it was crazy. And, finally one guy hands me his credit card and is like, charge me $5,000. Tell me what I get later. And I was just like, okay, I don't have any. He was like, just do it. And I was like, okay. So I charged him $5,000. And he's like, what do I get? And this was like after the event. And I was like, I don't know yet. I was like, but I promise I'll make you more than $5,000. And he was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And so luckily, he was opening a gym. And I don't know if luckily is the right word. My mom just got hospitalized in the same area. So like all this stuff kind of like came together. And so I was flying out to be with her. But like if you've ever had someone in the hospital, like I only had 2 hours a day of visiting hours. And so I just wanted to like stay busy so I didn't like lose my mind. And so I would sell during the day and then, meet up. And so there was actually three gyms all around. It was crazy. Three gyms all around her hospital that I did this at. And so I signed up 191 people at $500 a head at his gym in 19 days. And I kept in the deal I made and was like, I'll spend all the money on the marketing. I'll do all the sales and I'll keep the upfront cash. So I made like $100,000 in 20 days. And I was like, huh? And I like looked around and I was like, I think this is legal. And like, I was like, I have no employees. I was like, I have no rent. I have no overhead.
What are you doing to get these people, all these leads?
Yeah. At the time we were running a free 6 week challenge, and that was like it. I would say that offer has set the fitness community afire, right? It was the biggest fitness offer, I would say, of the last decade.
But you're saying it's free.
Right.
And so you're saying you made $500 off each person.
And so the way that it worked was if you'd come in and if you hit your goal of losing 20 pounds or 5% body fat in 6 weeks, you get the money back, right? Most people hear that and they're like, oh, like people, you made the money because people didn't lose weight. It's like, that's not actually how it worked. Most people hit the goal. We had like 70% plus hit the goal at our gyms. The reality was that if Susie loses 20 pounds in 6 weeks, she fucking loves you.
Yeah.
and she doesn't want to go anywhere. Yeah. Right. And so based on the conversion process we had, we call it the abandoned hope sale, but it's at week three is when we make the sale to convert them before they're even done. And so we're like, listen, you're doing awesome. You're down 12 pounds. Like, you're feeling great. So let's be real. You want to lose 50. It's not going to happen in the next 3 weeks, right? So why don't I just give you the whole 500 that you just gave me? Let me just credit towards your membership. So, like, your 6 weeks is 100% free. Like, you won. You won because you get that it's not about the 6 weeks. It's about the lifestyle. And so they're like, oh, cool. So it's an irresistible offer. And they're like, great. And so we'd be able to convert, you know, 3 out of 4 on the back end to stay as members. And so the beautiful thing about that compared to like a trial model, like a low barrier to entry model, like a $21 day model, is that first off, I was making $500-$600 a head on the front end, right? And so if I signed up 100 people, I made $50,000. And at the time, my ad campaign was like two. So I made money getting customers. And then I'd convert 3 out of 4 on the back end at $200 a month, and we discount it from $250 a month. We take $50 a month, credit it for 12 months, and take that off the membership, so they're at $199. So we'd back into the price that we wanted to be at. And so just like that, you get twice the conversion on the back end, because a typical LBO will convert 35%. That's the industry average on the back of like a trial into a membership. So you're converting twice as many, you're making money on the front end, and you get way better results and way better engagement. Like, and that's why you convert twice as many people, because they're like engaged, they paid to pay attention. And so that was really that consolidates, like, in a nutshell, what I've spent the last 3 years teaching to gyms to flip the acquisition model. Now, the free 6 week challenge, in order to be a compliant advertiser, you need to make sure that you put the qualifications. Every state is different in terms of advertising laws. So you want to make sure that on the thank you page, you have all that stuff. That's where some gyms didn't do that. Not people who worked with us, but like people who don't know what they're doing. And so you always have to be a compliant advertiser.
Yeah,
always
and Facebook can just take your, they'll just take your ad campaign down.
Well, it wasn't as much Facebook. It was more like if you want to be a legal advertiser, like it's like FTC, like you want to be a compliant advertiser for Federal Trade Commission, right? Make sure you're just applying, you know, abiding by the rules. That being said, that was kind of the old way we did it. And it worked really well, but the new way we have it is just like so much better with the diagnostic process. Cause like in the beginning, we would just sell a program, right? It was like, we sell everyone a 6 week to start to just get them going. We make money, they get involved, blah, blah, blah. But now we sell everyone straight into diagnostics that's specific to their goal and to the manner of fitness that they would prefer. The beautiful thing about the diagnostic process is that it's promotion agnostic. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't matter what promotion you run. And so you can run a 21-day free. You can run a $21 21-day. You can run a 14-day detox. You can run, it doesn't matter. Like, you can run anything you can possibly imagine. Because what happens if the sales process is followed properly, you get the person to admit, you can be like, Susie, like, given everything you just said, we can probably both agree that in 14 days, you're not going to lose 60 pounds. She's like, and I was like, unless we start cutting off your body parts. I was like, which we'll probably not. And then she laughs. Right?
Yeah.
Same script. And then and it's like, so can I just like solve your problem? Like, for what you really came here for?
Yeah.
And from that one hook, they just say yes, which means that you disregarded what they came in for and you can sell the goal. And so even though they came in for a $21 whatever or a 28-day transformation challenge, or it doesn't matter, you flip that based on educating the consumer that they really don't want a 28-day challenge. They want you to solve their problem, which is going to really take more than 28 days. And then you can close a $3,000 sale. And that is now, in my opinion, by far the best way to do it. So you can make, like, you don't even need a lot of sales to make your money back on a campaign. Like, if you spend $100 a day, you get one $3,000 sale, your campaign's covered, and everyone else that comes in after that's per profit.
What do you think about these people that are, like, I was telling you about one particular person that I interviewed recently that I wasn't very stoked on how smart he was. And he's all about, he spends like $2,000-$3,000 a day on ads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going off of like a 2-to-1 return typically. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, I'll spend ads and get a 10-to-1 return and maybe spend $4,000 for way smaller fraction of the time. So do you like when people spend a lot of money on ads? Do you think it doesn't matter? Or do you like more of...
I mean, it's what I think it's like. If you said you're getting 10-to-1, I'd be like, "Cool, 10x how much you're spending."
Yeah, that's way better.
Well, I mean, like, well, then it's 10x how much you're spending.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, like, make more.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's just an ROI game. So, like, here's a great one. It's relative return versus absolute return. So,
I ask my ad manager though about that stuff, she's like, "Well, if we spend more, we don't necessarily the ratio will go down."
Yes.
So she's like, "It's nice to just stay where we're at."
Relative return versus absolute return.
Yeah.
So let's say that you're getting.
Because I'm
10
like,
to 1.
Yo, let's just go, just hammer it.
Yeah. So let's
and
say
you're getting, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I spent $2 million this year in ads, and our as a community, we spend about $60 million a year. So like, I have a decent idea of what's going on in the advertising
for sure.
space. And so
that's why I love to ask the question.
Yeah. The for your example, I'll just pretend it's a gym. So let's say a gym is spending $2,000 a month and they're getting a 10 to 1 return. All right, so they make 20, and so they make 18 as their profit or whatever, right? Would I rather do that versus spend 10 grand and get 5 to 1? I would spend 10 grand and get 5 to 1 all day long because then I make 50, and then I have 40 after my ad spend versus my 18. Now, someone might be like, well, you were less efficient with your ad spend. I'm like, yeah, but I made twice as much money.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it really comes down. It's like you, the smaller the budget, you can always be more efficient. But at some point, like, you want to scale. And like, if you want to get to, you know, 10 times that, the efficiency is totally going to go down.
It
tomorrow someone's like, you spent $10 million this year in ads, I'll get you 2 to 1. I'd be like, cool. Here's $10 million.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. You know what I mean? And so that, or 1.5 to 1. I don't even, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
There's like, a difference when it's a huge number.
Right. You can make me a 50% return. What investment can I get in that? Right. Especially if it's up front. Like, not even including lifetime value that I'm going to collect on the back end, which is why for me, our whole objective with everything that we do is making a profit or at least breaking even on the acquisition so that everything we do, so the acquisition is no longer a bottleneck. And so that works with, that's how we scaled Gym Launch from 0 to $50 million in 20 months. It's how I went from 0 to 6 gyms in 3 years off cash flow. It's how I launched every gym to full capacity out of the zillions of gyms when we were flying out and do this, was that like, we weren't capital constrained because we made money in the acquisition. And by the second day of the campaign, we were making more than it cost us. So we would make enough money on one customer to have acquired that customer and the next two customers. And so then at that point, you put a little bit back in the campaign, and then it's just keeping money on the table, like chips on the table. And then you're just gambling with the casino's money. And that's how I see it.
And that's actually another thing that I've said a few times is like, the social media realm right now, if you're not playing with it at all, it's like going to a casino and you know that one of the handles is going to be $1 million and you're just not even trying.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even show up to the casino at all.
And
I don't have to call it social media, but like,
the paid space.
Ad campaigns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should be doing some sort of ad or click funnel type of deal. So
the, what's nice is if you learn the paid game. So like, you were like, how do you not have a follow? Like, I'm like, I delineate between being rich and being famous. I've never wanted to be famous. In fact, I would wish no one knew who I was and I could just be in the background and, you know, but my ads tend to convert with my face better than others. So I reluctantly do them.
It's just the mustache.
just the cash stash, right? the money mustache. Anyways. But building an organic following. So like, this is where like the advice that I give versus the advice that I do are somewhat different, because like, a lot of people are like, you gotta make content. And I think that there's a certain degree on that, like that is true, but most people suck, at most things, especially the things they think they're good at. And so usually the content they have is just very vanilla. It's just not that good. Now, you could say that they have to do that over time to develop their voice and all that stuff, which is true. But if I have to get someone to pay their rent next month, it's not going to be by posting, you know, memes on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Like, they got to learn the paid game. The nice thing is that the paid game is evergreen, because you can always buy eyeballs. Always. Like, the media will change and you got to adapt to the platforms, whether it was television or it's radio or it's, you know, or Facebook or Instagram or it's TikTok, you know, when it's coming out, like, it's like,
I fucking hate TikTok.
Yeah, I actually do too. It's really weird, but I'm like, I have to learn this stuff or I'll become irrelevant. But like, if you learn the paid game and you learn the game, then it's all just clicks to conversions. It's all the same thing. It's just like, I have to get a click and I have to get them to either opt in so I can sell them something over the phone, or I have to get them to opt in and then read a sales page, or I have to get them to go to a webinar. And then I get, like, it's just, what's the conversion process? But it's going to start with a click and some sort of offer that's going to be irresistible. But you got to learn that game.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that's like, so far in my career, that was like one of the biggest things that launched me from, you know, like a somewhat medium salary to...
Can I give you something interesting?
Yeah, go for it.
So there's a book called Predictable Revenue, which was made by, I can't remember his last name, but he was the guy who scaled Salesforce from their outbound sales team from 0 to $100 million for Salesforce. And what's interesting is that paid acquisition on media platforms, especially within a niche, like for me, at a certain point, it it's very, very difficult to scale to a really very high level. And I'm defining it like very high level is like maybe, you know, in like spend, you know what I mean? Like a lot of, and so I've actually gone a little bit more full circle. And I really do kind of enjoy and prefer the outbound process because it is predictable, and it's scalable by adding in humans. And so it's like, I know that by adding one rep who does reach outs is going to bring in. So like, let me give a numbers example for a gym, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you've got, here's some money nuggets for anybody who needs them. If you have 3,000 friends on Facebook, you have 1,000 followers on Instagram, and you've got 300 contacts on your phone, right? And you've got an email list maybe, but we'll just talk about those three for now.
Which is very small numbers.
Yeah, these are
this is
normal human numbers.
Yeah,
yeah. Right?
Standard, yeah.
Most people want to try and cold message people who aren't in their network. But I think that if I gave you tomorrow 4,000 leads, you wouldn't even know what to do with them anyways, right? And so you have 4,000 leads that have already given you permission to advertise to them. And so the only way to do this to not be sleazy is just by reaching out to people and saying, hey, do you know anybody? I just graduated 5 clients from my program. Do you know anybody who was trying to lose weight in 2020? I have a couple of openings. I'm giving a cool discount. We're doing a cool deal, whatever. What you'll find is that one, when you ask for a referral, you're not being sleazy at all. You're just like asking. But like 9 times out of 10, the person says like, I'm interested. But if you just said, hey, are you interested in this? They're like, oh, he's trying to solicit me. And so that little pivot allows you to reach out to everybody in your network. And so if you did, let's say, 50 reach outs a day, right, you would realistically be able to close about 1 to 2 sales a day at a 0 discounted price because you didn't have to give an offer for paid advertising. And so if I were paying someone, let's say $100 a day, to do all my outreach for me and just set up sales consultations for people who are interested, right? And you follow the closer framework, which is my book, which is clarify their problem, clarify their goal, label them with their problem, overview their past experiences and pain, and then sell them the vacation, which in this instance would be selling them the consult with you, who's going to close them on the real thing, right? If I'm spending $100 a day on that and I get 2 sales a day, I'm making $4,000 a day off of $100 in labor.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm getting 40-to-1 return. And so then you start thinking, huh, now I can't get shut down. I don't have to have advertising policies. And then someone's going to say, who's listening, but that's not sustainable. What happens when you've reached out to everyone in your base? Well, it's like, okay, well, 50 a day times, you know, for 4,000 is 80 days. So in 80 days, you reach out to somebody again. So it's like you reach out to everybody in your network 4 times a year. It's like once a quarter. That's just follow up. Like the average woman diets 5 times a year. It's just whether you catch them when their light's on.
You know what I mean? That's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so at that point, And so at that point, you have a predictable inflow of revenue that isn't paid acquisition required. And so people are like, well, what should I do? Paid ads or that? I'm like, do both.
Yeah.
How much money should I make? Make all of it.
People ask me all the time about, like recurring stuff or books. They're like, should I start a recurring? Like, I'm so excited to start. Like, I really want like this $20 a month thing or $10 a month thing, like a recurring thing, so I know how much money I'm making every month.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but you and everybody else in the world wants that.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are missing out on one-time sales.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a ton of people right now in the fitness space. They just want an app. They all want an app. Like, everybody wants an app.
Yeah.
But they forget that selling an ebook is still, it's, there's not a lot attached to it. Like, I hate my iCloud bill of $10 every month, right?
Yeah.
And like that little $10 a month just bothers the fuck out of me. But if it was like, hey, spend $100 and you'll be done for the year, I'm like, oh, let's just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a one-time sale for me, and I'm that type of person. And I feel like people who are doing just the monthly stuff versus just the one-time sale, they're missing out on 50% profit.
Do you want to know some stats around that?
Yeah.
So Paid in Full for a year has on average 2% month over month churn. So people who pay in full for the year are like for a gym, for example, it's 10% for monthly, it's 5% for quarterly, and it's 2% churn if you were to extrapolate it monthly for a paid in full for the year. And so it's purely a math question of like, do I want recurring? Do I want paid in full? It's like, well, if your average person who's at $10 a month stays for 4 months, then your lifetime value is $40. If you can do a paid in full for 97 and they get lifetime access, then you make 1.5 times more money.
Yeah.
right?
I like that. That's good. Where'd you get those numbers from? Just like your own?
That's from Profitwell.
Okay.
So they are a subscription. They're a subscription processing company, and so they process 20% of the SaaS space. So software as a service, software models. So they do all recurring based billing, and so they have all the metrics on everything.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Back to that book you were just talking about. You said that you, because we were talking about how to scale to like
predictable revenue. 100,
yeah, predictable revenue book. So what's like the highlights of this book? I always like when someone recommends a book.
Yeah, basically, like the bottom line of it is that, like for us, for example, it becomes difficult to reliably scale. That's why it's predictable revenue, to predictably scale revenue with paid acquisition as you get bigger and bigger. And the reason for that is, like, let's say I have a sales team that's taking inbound leads, right? Like I do now. If in the beginning, if you have, let's say, one sales guy and you have a gym and you're spending, you know, X, and all of a sudden your cost per lead doubles, well, you know, your sales guy is like 50% as busy. Not as big, you know, it's like, okay. And then he gets a little bit more busy because you're 50, they come in half price this time. So he's twice as busy, but like it's one guy, it flexes, right? If I have a 14 person team, right, and I have lead costs that double 1 month, which happens, right, I have seven guys who aren't needed. Or the flip side happens. I have twice as many leads. I would need 14 more guys to handle the volume. It becomes more difficult to walk the fine line of getting just the perfect amount of lead flow to service, to fill the pipeline for 10 guys or 14 guys. And that's where having outbound, because I remember when I started this, I was like, the reason these big companies don't do inbound is because they're just not as smart as I am, right? And like, they're billion-dollar companies. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the fucking genius, right? The reality is that they are smarter, and that's why they're a billion-dollar company. Is that outbound method is it's incredibly predictable. Like, you just add more people, and you know that each rep will produce consistently 8 sales a month. And it's based on activity. Did you do 50 reach-outs today? That's it.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. And so if you're a gym owner right now and you're like, I don't have money for ads, I don't want to figure out tech, reach out to 50 people in your network and ask them if they know anybody. That's it. And then ask, and they're going to say, I'm interested, tell me more, and be like, well, what are your goals?
It's amazing how many people in your network are actually willing to help you.
It's a weird human thing, because when you ask for a referral, people want to help. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're saying, do you want it? They feel solicited. It's a totally weird psychology thing, but it works.
I sell these nutrition challenges right now. They do incredibly well, and they really do work, and I'm really excited about them. And I had a guy recently, when you sign up, I had like this custom Excel sheet, and basically everyone plugs all these numbers in that I create, and then it gives them their macros that they should be eating. And then the sheet, you have to sign into your Google account and make a copy.
Yeah.
And I write it in humongous letters, like, please do this. Do not ask for permission to edit it or anything like that. And everyone edits it.
Right.
They put in the numbers, and it changes everybody's numbers in the challenge. And I'm like, God, I do not know how to friggin' do this, you know?
Okay, I was like,
Okay. I'll tell you what happened. So eventually one of the members – and, dude, this went on for like a year.
I'm mind blown. Yeah.
Yeah, this went on for like a year. So actually this just happened like 3 days ago.
Okay.
This is like really good stuff. So this guy's like, hey, I just made a website for you.
He was so frustrated.
I made a website, and basically the website is like, you just put the numbers in and it's done.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh my God. I was like, hey, could you help me do this, this, and this, and this, and this? And then like, we'll add on to it and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, absolutely. And I was like, I'm willing to pay you. Like, just tell me what the number is. Like, I want you to be happy. So, I mean, this is someone who just came out, you know.
Yeah. He just did it.
He just did it. He was like very happy to do it. And it's probably something I could have asked people a while ago. Like, hey, is anyone like technology savvy, like beyond my abilities, that can help me with this?
You know, if you just change the last four letters from /edit to /copy, when they hit the page, it just tells them to make a copy. They can't even see it. And then it makes a copy in their own Google account. I just feel bad, because I'm like, that could have solved a year.
Yeah, I mean, I know nothing.
Because we share a zillion Excel and like scripts and Excel sheets for our customers. And so they just click, and it just says, when they get to the page, it says make a copy, and they just click the button, and then it makes a copy in there.
Like, I don't even know how to use Excel.
Dude, there you go.
But I will forward this
Google. Yeah, it's Google Sheets. Or, yeah.
Yeah, I'll forward this to my buddies for sure. So to get you more excited, I mean, that's all stuff that you can probably just play. I could just like push a button on you, and you could probably say all that.
Yeah.
That's what you're used to. Right now, you're getting excited about meal plans.
Yeah.
Maybe not meal plans, but you have meals.
Yeah.
And I've seen them in my gym in California, and you're in Austin, Texas, so they're getting pretty big, I assume.
Yeah, they're doing really, really well. If I could do everything over again, I would have launched the meal company before the supplement company. But then when I tell people that who are more experienced business people than me, they're like, yeah, but you learned all these lessons and you wouldn't know to have to, like, this is part of the game, you know? Everybody eats.
Yep.
And the number one issue, here's a lesson that I learned from 2019, which is that in order to have a product has to solve pain. It can't be an opportunity for gain. People don't care about opportunities for gain. They care about solving pain. And supplements, from a big picture, now mind you, you should always definitely incorporate it in your process, but like big picture, it's an opportunity for gains. It's an opportunity for enhancement, better, faster,
etc. It's the 5%.
Exactly.
That we talked
now,
about.
People still want it. You should monetize it in your business totally. But meals, the average woman spends 5.9 hours a week prepping and cleaning food, not even eating it. And they spend this is all from the USDA, 1.7 grocery trips per week, and it takes 1.6 hours on average between getting the list and driving there. And
dude, I go to the grocery store every single day.
Right, so you're even higher than that. So the average, but the average there is 9.6 hours, right? So that's a full work. That's 40 hours a month. It's a work week that the average person spends just not even eating food, just getting all the stuff around food, right? And so if you can eliminate that for someone, especially now consider somebody who's new and trying to change their lifestyle, they're looking at different brands, they're trying to find new recipes, they're getting frustrated. Like there's so much, it's chaotic for somebody who's really trying to do something new. And if we can eliminate one of the variables for them, which is food, which is the biggest one, then it makes the likelihood that they retain much higher, that they get better results. And then it also allows the gym to be a one-stop shop. They can truly be a full service facility, which up to this point, I haven't really seen anyone doing. And I think that's why we've gotten such a massive inflow. I mean, in the last, I think 20 days, we've had almost 800 new gyms sign up with us.
Whoa.
Yeah. And we already had 1400. So that were active. So, I mean, it's growing really quickly. And like supplements, I feel like I had to put a lot more effort into, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm putting tons of effort into meals, but like it felt like an uphill battle. Whereas with meals, it feels like more of a downhill battle. People are like, they get it. They see the value.
Yeah, they just want it.
Right. And the food's really freaking
good.
Yeah. And the food's really good. And we made it purposely plain and like just whole ingredients, made it non-GMO, eco-friendly, all that stuff. It's all vacuum sealed, which is something that 99% of companies don't have because it's a $750,000 machine. But it extends the shelf life to like 21 days. So you never have like the smelly fridge or the food that goes like, I don't know about this gel on the side of this chicken. Like
21 days in the fridge. That's pretty awesome.
I've never, I don't know what I'm legally allowed to say. I've never had a meal go bad ever. And I eat a lot of them. And
yeah.
I usually order from ourself like 100 meals at a time. So like we have a whole treasure chest for, I mean like we, some of them like at the bottom, I'm like, I wonder how long this one's been on the bottom of this, this stack of meals. But yeah, never, because basically when there's no oxygen, what happens first is that the actual proteins will break down. So it would become mushy before it would go bad. So it would just like, the texture would be weird. It would mush together before it actually rots, which is kind of interesting, but like no one would ever consume it even way before that anyways. But that's one of the huge things is that, and it's all hand-delivered to everyone's doorstep, next day or shipping. So by the time you order it, it's there 48 hours later at your doorstep, independent of anywhere in the U.S. And so, like, I think we're in an on-demand economy right now. That's why Prime is, you know, crushing it and, like, you know, Netflix. Like, people just want things right now without any work. And so this
is – Amazon is insane.
I mean, you can't – yeah, they can't be beat. So if you're – like, how do you – no one wants to cook. So this is really interesting. So there's a research report by Nielsen that was like – meal delivery upsets two industries, eating out and groceries, because people don't want to cook, but they don't want to leave. And so they just want, it's like everyone just wants to sit and do nothing and have everything come to them, which is essentially what this is. And especially for somebody who's trying to like lose weight and is starting a new habit, like the last thing you want to do is add even more variables. And so for a coach, if I'm talking to Susie on my nutrition orientation, I'm like, Susie, what meals do you struggle the most with? And she's going to be like, I'm like, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all three. And she's going to be like, probably all three. I'm like, cool. Then why don't we?
I love the person who says they just really don't eat that much.
Yeah.
Like I really just don't eat that much.
That's what got you here.
And
that's
they're like fucking 700 pounds. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. How the fuck is that possible?
No, right. Yeah. If you didn't, you look like people in Africa who actually don't eat much. So sorry. Anyway, sensitivities.
Yeah.
So
someone
just got offended. Yeah. Someone just got offended. And so by doing that, we can say, listen, why don't we just take care of the either like, let's just take care of your lunches and your dinners. And you only have to think about your breakfast. But what we do, because I also own a supplement company, we give everyone on their first order a tub of protein too. And so that should, for anybody who's getting a 12 pack, which is like lunches and dinner 6 days a week, it solves 100% of their meals. And if you extrapolate the cost out, it's $9 a meal, which is fucking unreal.
Right? I was going to ask you how much is the typical meal and how much calories are in a typical meal.
Yeah, so because the lunches and dinners are going to be like chicken, steak. So we have 10 proteins. So we have bison, chicken, steak, salmon, cod, roasted turkey, ground beef, and brisket, and a vegan option. Wow, I need about 10. That was actually impressive.
Wait a second.
What?
You asked me for my address before we started.
Yeah.
That's where I saw your meals. They showed up to my house.
You didn't even know.
Dude, I literally was like, who the fuck gave me all these?
Did you like them?
Dude, they were awesome.
This is a genuine reaction.
I actually really liked them a lot. And I literally was like, who the fuck sent me these? You know, because I just bought a new house for those of you who know me. And I don't know if you know. I like just bought this new house. And I was like, you know what? Maybe somebody was like, we're just going to give it to all these people because they'll probably want to buy this stuff. I genuinely had no idea.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that.
It just like all came together just now. Car accident in my head.
We spent like half a day together. Wow. And it was like, oh, wait, you own that company? Like, yes, I own that company.
Because you guys don't know, but he showed it to me earlier. I was like, I've seen this before. Dude, I swear to God, I think for like 3 days straight, I just ate only those because it was just so convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. And if you're brand new to fitness and all you had to do was show up at the gym 3 days a week and just like.
Dude, they were really good.
And those were
I'm not even plugging right now. I'm just literally just like, dude, those were really fucking good food. That was good food. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done.
But yeah, so they're purposely plain. And what we basically espouse is like, because Layla and I have ordered meals for 4 years. So we've gone through everything. And like, she doesn't cook unless it's a special thing, you know, because, and I don't need her to. Like, I'm happy to just have it done. But if you're like me, I don't know what I want to have for lunch next Tuesday, right? I'm going to know like 10 minutes before I have lunch. I'm like,
same.
But if I have 16 lemon chickens, I'm going to murder myself, right? Or I'm like, oh shit, I still have these barbecues left. I got to work through these, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be that way. So we made everything sauceless, everything salt free. So if you're like competing or something, you got to manage that. And so that way, then we have just like recommendations for sauces that are low calorie.
But there was really good flavor in that stuff.
For some of the carbs, there's like rosemary and things like that. Yeah. But
for how little was in it.
Yeah.
And I looked at the oils and stuff. There was no like canola oil or any of that bullshit. I can't fucking stand when someone uses a cheap oil.
No, dude, it's whole ingredient. It's like it's foods that are ingredients, not made with ingredients. That's kind of the whole motto. But yeah, then you can add barbecue today and you can add sweet chili tomorrow and you can add honey mustard the next day. And like most people were like, I need more variety because like we purposely didn't make a rotating menu. That's also for coaches because if your clients are going through rotating menus, their calories and macros are changing all the time. It makes it impossible to stay consistent. And so with this, it's like you can have them have the set meals because most humans eat the same 6 to 10 meals. Like that's like 90% of your meals are the same 6 to 10 that you like and are convenient and they're made the way you like them, right?
Yep.
You probably know what you eat for breakfast most days. You probably eat for lunch one of two or three things, right? Same thing for dinner. And so the goal is if you can just get someone to change those 6 to 10 meals, because people don't need variety. What they do is they want variety in the beginning to figure out which ones they like, and then they only want those ones. And so this way, it's like you're not going to change chicken, right? Chicken's chicken. As long as it's like moist and made well, like it's going to be chicken. Moist. So it's more,
moist always fucks me up.
And so now
it's just an instant feeling.
So you can put whatever you want on it. So then your clients can put whatever they want on the food and it's totally like it gives them that variety, but you're still making sure you're hitting all the macros consistently. So it makes it easy for the coach, easy for the client, everybody wins.
So
and then the coach makes money.
How much is the meal versus how much they – so okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a gym owner. You're ordering 100 meals.
So the gyms don't order the meals. The people order the meals. So the gym basically – so this is kind of how the supplement company did really well too is we just built a point of sale on the back end for the gym so that we have a zillion ways someone can buy. But it's like you can have a QR code on your phone. They scan it on your phone. It takes them straight to the site to the exact place you want them to buy and they can just click order. And then it's automatically tracked through you. You can send them a link and they can go. You can have it on your computer and you can turn the screen around and have them select the meals you want. There's a zillion ways that you can do it. I like having them do it so that they understand the process.
Wow, the simplicity of that is unreal.
Seamless has been the strategy of the company.
Dude, so the biggest thing that I don't like about meals in my gym is, one, they have to be in the gym.
Pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass. So I have a fridge that I sell water out of, and you're fucking up my mojo.
Yeah.
Right? And then, two, like, sometimes they get to the point where they smell in the fridge.
And they're probably Tupperware. They're not vacuum sealed.
They're Tupperware. So, so what happens, though, is like, you know, somebody, you have a lot of rich people in fucking Newport. They don't give a fuck about $100 or whatever. Yeah. They'll spend $100 on food and never pick it up ever.
I know. I did it at Huntington Beach. I know.
And then it'll smell. And I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So this is a pain in the ass. And then all these different factors.
They don't
want
to pick it up. And that's the key point, is they don't want to pick it up. So I was like, the whole point is like, how can I make this frictionless for everyone? How can I make it frictionless for the gym? How can I make it frictionless for the client so that everyone can just like keep moseying about their day? And so the gym makes about $100 a month per client they get on meals, which is pretty awesome for them because it's another revenue stream.
Yeah, if they're 100 people, that's fucking...
Yeah, it's real money. And if like, what's funny is that I always hear gym owners like scoffing at money, and I'm like, you run 12% margins. I know the math. Yeah. So like, why are you scoffing an extra $3,000 a month? Like, it's double what you make now. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's heavy, it's a whole ego thing. Anyways. So with this...
I think every gym owner just likes to... they like people to think they make a lot of money.
I think every human wants people to think
of
that.
I never gave a fuck. Like, if I was poor, I was like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm poor. Like,
I'm broke right now. I just want you to know that. Yeah.
But anyway, moving on. That is a fucking great answer. Well done.
Thank you. So to answer your question, there's 10 proteins. People can get 4 or 6 ounces. That's the only variable. Is 4 or 6 ounces or the quality. If you get steak or salmon, it's more than the chicken or ground turkey.
Yeah, as it should be.
Right. And so basically, because I own the supplement company, like I said, I can do – so the meals are, depending on how many they buy, between $14.49 to $16 a meal. Now, when they get their – they also get the protein tub as well. And so since they're having that for their breakfast, then the aggregate cost for all three of their meals is $9. It's $9.12.
Each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's shipped to their door.
That's cheap as fuck. Where I live, like, you get a Poke Bowl, it's $15.
Oh, yeah.
God knows where you can go by me. It's super expensive.
And if you think about it in terms of a weekly cost, it's $178 a week, right, that's for 12, right? That's for the standard person who's trying to lose weight, get in shape, et cetera, right? And from that, they're going to get 130 grams of protein a day. And if you're, like... If it's a dude, have him add an extra scoop of protein. I mean, like, it's not complicated.
Do you have options of, like, sizes of the meals?
Yeah, 4 and 6 ounces.
Oh, 4 and 6. Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so the highest protein one is 50. And that's just, like, the brisket and the steak and stuff. But brisket's the standard protein, so it's not, like, added.
Oh.
It's also delicious, which if you had the brisket,
it's
phenomenal.
The brisket was very, very good.
It's a personal favorite.
I think that was the one with the sweet – whatever one came with the sweet potato one was one of my favorites because I liked the sweet potatoes were really good.
Mm-hmm. There was no spices on those.
Yeah.
They're just good.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They were bomb.
Yeah.
Dude, I literally just can't believe that I put all that together just now during the podcast for the first time. I was like, wait a second.
But yeah, it makes it easy. So what we did was – so I surveyed so many of our clients and was like – figuring out a compensation structure was incredible. It was like – it took me like a month to like just keep researching and talking and looking at what other people were doing, what was working, what was not working. And so what I did was it has to win for three parties. It has to win for the clients, it has to win for the coaches, and it has to win for the owner, right? And so the clients, by ordering through the gym to protect the gym from them coming directly to me because I'm not trying to steal anybody's clients, they get $2 off by ordering per meal by ordering through the gym. And that protects their base so I'm not trying to steal business from them, right? So that's number one. So the client wins there. The way that it's set up right now, and I may end up tweaking this, but currently they get 24% of the revenue that's generated from meals in meal credit. Because when I surveyed them, most of them wanted to get free food for them and their trainers.
So if I sell $100 in food,
I get
$24
in food. Right.
In food.
And so what ends
up
happening.
But I'm also making money too.
So.
Or no.
The first, yeah. So the way we did it is. There's basically a threshold. So like if you're like a personal trainer, you're not like you would never be able to sell enough that it would make more sense for you to just get your meals covered for yourself because I can give you more meals worth of money than money's worth of money because food's not a very high margin business. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why this was like so creative for me. So for the first basically 10 grand that someone sells in a month, which may sound like a lot, but it's not in food because your average person spending $750 a month. Like, so it only takes 15 clients to get there. That covers 5 people's food. So that's you and your 4 coaches. So everyone has food. At that point, everything after that, you're just getting a cash payout. So I set it up that way so that now I may over time make it 3 people. Like, it's more expensive for me to do the food than it is to pay in cash, ironically.
Oh.
But for me, it was a branding thing of like, I know that if every trainer is eating the food, every coach is eating the food, every gym owner is eating the food, and they're posting about it, and they're like, man, this is awesome. Then the clients are going to do it too, and they can walk the walk because I really don't believe in recommending products that you don't use. You know what I mean? And so this way they could be in integrity. They could, you know, and shit, everyone eats. So like most coaches are very happy to just not have to pay for food. And I will tell you this, the moment you have had free food and then you have to pay for it again, you're like, wait, I don't want to pay for this. Yeah. Like I get free food. Yeah. And so our whole mission on the business side is, if you are a gym owner or you're in the fitness space in general, I believe that between supplements and meals, you should never have to pay for your food and you should never have to pay for your rent, because of the amount of recommendations that people look to you as an expert or authority, because they're asking you, what supplement should I take? Oh, you do those meals? Great. That's what I'll do, right? Like we are these micro influencers, and so we should be able to capitalize on that in an efficient manner so that like the two biggest expenses of your life are taken care of. At the very least. And so that's kind of the mission on that side.
I like that. That's really, really cool. So is that, so like the future for Alex is probably meals and then just building your current gym company?
Yeah. Right now we're basically putting Gym Launch at a maintenance level. So I'm not looking to like scale Gym Launch further. I want to just continue to improve the systems, make it just better, more efficient, et cetera. Like I might even get to a point where I say, no more new gyms. I just want to keep taking care of the community we have. Like we may get there. I mean, I have plenty of different angles that I can take with this, but,
I saw on your Instagram goals for 2020 is more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we all get to the point where we've worked so much. We're just like, fuck, I just need to have a good time for a
while.
I
think it'll help the business too. Honestly, yeah. I mean, we took, this is our first vacation, that we took in 4 years. And so it was nice.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Deer Valley.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yeah. So we just, 3 out of the 5 days I did not work. So I we didn't talk about work. I didn't look at my phone. Like we just were married and it was really nice.
I like that. And Deer Valley is a great place.
Yeah.
Especially for skiing, as you're a skier.
Yeah. I have some really, really, I can't share it now, but I have some really massive plans for combining food into the gym model, that I think are going to be enormous and might break the industry. But, I'll wait to prove it out first. We'll do a follow-up podcast.
I'm sure we'll all see it.
But yeah, we have some really, because the thing is like when you have, let's say supplements or you have meals and you have alternative methods of monetizing a customer, it means you can get really creative with the offers that you have. And so if I can attract people and say, I'll give you this for free instead of this, it's like, we know what our back end numbers are. And so like, it's really just like configuring a puzzle to come up with an offer that's really compelling.
It's back to the beginning of your whole thing.
Yes.
You're making upfront deals.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make as much as you can.
Yeah.
Upfront. Cool. And you're saving money in the process because everything is actually owned by Alex.
Yeah.
Which is rad. Actually, my grandfather, Alex's fucking book, Alex's fucking meals, whatever.com. Oh, there was no fucking there. Sorry. There should be.
I'm going to buy the domain now. It'll redirect to Alex's book.
My grandfather actually built an entire community where I grew up in Toms River, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And he built the entire community. He sold and rented all the buildings in the area because he built them all.
Yeah.
And then he opened a real estate company on the premises and then just resold everything through the real estate company forever.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is the smartest thing I've ever seen in my life. He makes like 6% on every deal forever on shit he already made. Like it was unbelievable. So it's almost kind of like the same thing you have going on right now. But total side note, like how grateful do you feel right now? You're 30 years old.
Yeah.
And you built this massive company.
Yeah.
And I don't know, 10 years ago, you were probably a completely different person.
It was.
How amazing does that feel to wake up and
awesome
have this huge empire? And like not only do you have an empire, you have a real empire. Like there's people who are fake empire people, right? Like they've made all this money and they suck, right? Like they're shitty humans. But you're like a good dude. You have really good principles. Like the shit works. Like obviously there's a lot of people. You guys can Google his name.
Yeah.
You're always going to get somebody who said something negative, but I would say 89%
If you help 2,000 people, if you think 5% of people are fuckheads,
yeah,
right, then that would be 100 angry people.
Yeah.
So.
But what's that feel like every day? I mean, you're like, fuck.
So honestly,
gratefulness value.
I would say I'm grateful for the opportunity to play the game. Like I just love the game. And so I think it's cool because I think being able to run at this level gives you growth opportunities that you wouldn't normally have that most people don't get. And so I'm grateful for those opportunities. There's definitely days that I wake up and I'm like,
fuck.
Yeah. Like this is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to sugarcoat it for anyone and say like, it is amazing. All I do is I just roll around in my bed of money and I'm like, oh my God, I could buy whatever I want. And like we can, but I will tell you this, I think this is a Les Brown quote, but like we've made a tremendous amount of money. And nothing's changed. We live on $9,000 a month. You can see me. I'm wearing Champion, you know, sweats with stains on them. Like, I think money just brings out whatever you are. So if you're just a dick, you're just a bigger dick.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
If you're just a normal dude, you're just a more normal dude. You know what I mean? But I just love the game, man. And I just love the game. I love the game. I love the scars. I have a whole list of all, like right now I did a podcast. It was 30 minutes of every single mistake of 2019 and like the lessons from those. And they're like one liners. Like, I don't even know if they make sense for people. Cause I'm like, so we learned that, this didn't work. And, this is what we learned instead. And we learned that, you know, it's like, and I just love that I'm able to do that every year and look back and be like, wow, like if I knew then what I know now, and I'm excited to know what 40-year-old Alex would probably shake his head and be like, oh, you little shit, you know, if you only knew. But that's the game.
You know? Yeah, it's amazing what you know 2 years later.
Oh, yeah.
2 years is crazy. Well, all right. Thank you so much for your time. We've spent an hour and a half on here.
Killing
I've it. Been in your home. We've worked out. We've spent a lot of time together. It's almost like a full-on Bumble date.
Yeah.
So I'll go back and actually see how many people we have on standby on mine right now. But thank you so much again. And let's just reiterate real quick. So they can go to alexsbook.com.
Yep. It's a free book. It's $8 for shipping. Yep.
And then for the meals, where can people find those?
So if you're a gym owner, right, you can go to affiliate.prestigelabs.com. I know it's a shitty URL, but affiliate.prestigelabs.com. And right there, you can go and sign up and become an affiliate. There's a step one, step two, step three video onboarding process. They're less than 5 minutes each. Like, you'll be able to figure it out.
The videos are good.
And you can, and you can literally make your first, you can have your first customer purchase a meal within less than 120 seconds. So like I said, seamless.
Perfect.
So you go there, you put your name, phone number, email, you check the box saying that you're not a crazy person, you submit, and then you immediately have your links that are already tracked to you. You can buy your own food through the links and get your 24% off. Automatically. So if you want to do that, you can. Now, that's only for fitness professionals. We do verify that. So if you're not a fitness professional, then don't do it because we'll just kick you out. But if you're a trainer or you're an online coach or you're a chiropractor or you're an acupuncturist, anybody who helps people who are trying to lose weight, then this is for you, and it's an easy way to add revenue.
Sweet. You get to swipe right on yourself, basically. Awesome. Well, is there any other websites or any other things that you want to throw out there for the people? What about your what about the Gym Lords? Is there a website for that?
Well, there's alexspodcast.com, which is my podcast. You can go to alexsig.com for my Instagram.
No, your Instagram
at Hormozy.
Hormozy.
Yeah, but if you wanted to redirect, it'll redirect.
Really?
But okay. At Hormozy is my Instagram. But yeah, I mean, if you're a gym owner, you've probably seen my ads 100 times. And if you are listening to a podcast with me in it, Facebook probably already knows and it'll probably show you an ad within the next like hour.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Just click on one of those, you know. I should probably have better call to actions, but honestly, I hope that anyone who just got value from it, and if you're a gym owner, just hang in and just understand that anybody who's trying to flex and show that they're like killing it, I can tell you that I know more gym owners than just about anyone. And it's a hard game. It's a hard grind. It's very difficult to become a millionaire strictly from the gym. The only path to doing that is either through licensing, franchising, or bundling up 5 to 10 locations and then selling them. But it's extremely difficult. And typically once you acquire that level of skill set, if you apply that level of skill set to a different opportunity vehicle, you'll see. But the thing is like that first business is so key to you learning all the skills that you need to learn to level up. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have the gyms that I had. That's how I learned how to sell. I learned how to market. I learned how to like run a team. I mean, there's all these things that you learn that you don't have the opportunity to learn in most other businesses. And so like, I would just implore you to not think that any failures are failures, but just lessons, because like the only thing that you're investing in is just you. And the, like, I lost everything, which you guys didn't hear about, but I sold my 6 gyms and then I lost everything within 2 months.
You lost everything twice.
I've lost everything twice. Thanks for the reminder. And so, but the thing is like, you're able to rebuild it if you have the skills. And so just always invest on stacking more skills together, because like, even like the next big play that I'm going to do this year, the only reason I'd be able to do it is because I know how to market locally for a gym. I have a software that works leads automatically so that gym owners don't have to work them. I know how to sell, and I know how to combine supplements, meals, and service to create an absolutely crazy offer that no one else can do. And then we can manage the fulfillment through other software that we have. Like, the only reason we can do this is because we've stacked these skills over time. And so I would just say, like, just don't get frustrated and just...
It's
your expectations is what's fucking killing you. The reason that...
Especially now, in this age,
everyone's
like, the entitlement factor is fucking out of control.
50% of high schoolers think they're going to be a millionaire by 25. 50%. And they're all tragically mistaken. Many of them.
Tragically.
Right. And what will happen is they continue to try and find...
Their work ethic is so low.
And they try and find the big thing that's their big break. And they keep jumping from shiny object, big break, shiny object, big break, rather than just realizing that most things just take some time. And mm-hmm. it's because you're going to suck. And then finally, you're going to try six things for the same business. And then finally, one will start to work a little bit. And then you're going to want to change it again. But at that point, you shouldn't. You just got to keep doing that thing. And so that's like one of our core tenets is do the boring work. It's like, if you realize that 50 reach outs a day is what gets you the inflow, then keep doing 50, like repeat successful actions, keep doing it. So anyways, just a word of encouragement for everyone. Like, just hang in. Your expectations kill you. If you could be a millionaire in 10 years guaranteed, rather than try and shoot for it in 2 years, if you thought about it as a 10-year plan, the likelihood that you achieve it in six is actually pretty high if it was your real expectation. So,
and this all goes back to Susie. Instead of telling her that she's going to lose 60 pounds in 14 days, let's tell her she might lose like seven.
Yeah, so, right. And yeah, maybe in a year we'll change your life.
Same in your life. Dude, crushed this podcast. Thank you so much. For those of you guys who listen to this, and I know that you guys are going to love it, there's no chance that you're not going to. Make sure you tag myself, Mr. Hormozy over here.
At Hormozy.
Yeah, let us know that you love the podcast. Share it with everybody. Give us some of your favorite quotes or whatever it is. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Love you guys.
Bye.